Welcome to the golf edition of Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's Summer Golf Wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define golf across South Australia and beyond. It's time to talk golf with sports commentator Ben Hook and State Golf Representative Sophie Hilditch.
Good on you, Wallace. Thanks very much. Well, it is Masters Week, but it has been one of the most incredible days in South Australian golf. The ANWR tournament, Augusta National Women's Amateur, has come to a conclusion this morning, and our very own South Australian Reagan Denton has finished in a tie for fourth. Let me just say that again. A tie for fourth position at ANWR. It is the best performance in the history of the event by an Australian. We are going to catch up exclusively with Reagan Denton and her great mate Zoe Manton very shortly. But to break it all down, the experience and expertise of Sophie Hilditch. Soph, she's a great friend of yours. You must be so proud of what Reagan Denton's done over the last week.
I had chills watching this. You said this is amazing for South Australia, but this is amazing for Australia. She's the highest ever placed person at this event. There's only a handful of Australians that have even played this event. Watching her was incredible with the composure. You can see her all over ANWR's social media and Fox Sports over in the US. It was incredible. But even just watching ANWR was amazing this year. I mean, obviously the personal side of things adds like a complete extra element, and I felt stressed for a whole 3 days, and I hate to think what everyone there felt like and what Reagan felt like, because I was stressed back at home just watching. So it was incredible though, and I think we have to do it justice and we have to talk about the ANWR tournament just before we even speak to Reagan.
Righto. So let's go at the top of the leaderboard. The winner was the Colombian Maria Jose Marin. Just tell us a little bit about how she performed.
Well, she was incredible. She was steady the whole way through this entire tournament. She entered round three, which is the final round, one shot back from Asterix Tally, who was the runners-up in 2025. But Maria was so steady. She's not the biggest hitter. She went in with a game plan. She chose to have her local caddy rather than a family friend on the bag because she felt like she needed someone who knew the greens and could compose herself a little bit better. She'd had her dad the year before and missed cut, and her dad was actually the one that told her, look, I don't think I'm the best person for you right now. I think you need to get a local caddy and you need to get someone who can lock you into this game a little bit better than what I managed to do last year. But Maria was textbook. She had the support of Maria Fassi, who was the first ever runners-up in 2019, who was texting her throughout the entire event. Maria stuck to a game plan. She hit green. She hit fairways. She hit squirrely shots coming in, but her short game was just next level. The spin that she could get on around those greens and then holing putts when they really mattered. I didn't see her miss something inside 10 foot, if I'm honest. It was textbook, incredible, holding her nerves together, but her facial expressions were amazing. When she hit the fairway on 18 with a four-shot lead coming down, her face straight away, she rolled her eyes and started giggling, and you could just tell some weight had just been lifted off her shoulder and she was starting to enjoy that walk a little bit more and realizing what she'd just done. So I know I just went on a massive rant, but she was incredible to watch play. Her smile was infectious and she looked so excited. And watching her walk off that 18th hole and come into the arms of her mum and her dad and her little brother, who she held his hand the whole way she was walking up the chain of patrons back up to the cabins. And I found it even funny, she'd forgotten to get a scorecard, so had to try and find a caddy urgently, being like, oh, hang on a second. I've just won the biggest amateur tournament of my life, but I now actually needed to go and do the scorecard signing, and yeah, I don't even know where that is. And at one stage she got a little bit nervous because her hat clip had fallen off her hat and all the excitement with all her college teammates. And honestly, I cry every single time I see someone win a tournament at Augusta. So I was crying nonstop at about 4 a.m. this morning. And I think Darcy was next to me wondering what the hell was going on, and I was just crying in bed with a little phone screen and trying to not wake him up. But it was amazing.
Andrea Revuelta from Spain was runner-up. Sumin Oh in third position alongside Yunseo Yang, so a pair of Koreans there. Then in the tie for fourth position was Kiara Romero, the number one ranked amateur in the world. A young Swede named Maya Ortengren. Asterisk tally we'll come to, and then, of course, our very own Regan Denton. Asterisk tally had the 36-hole lead, and she was travelling along beautifully. Birdie three of the first four holes, Soph. But it did all come unstuck for her when we got to the 12th hole. She bogeyed 11 and then had just a tragic, tragic 7 on the 12th. It was reminiscent of Jordan Spieth back in 2016 when he led the Masters by 5 and had also a quadruple bogey on 12. But just... You were watching this in real time, mate. It must have been, for someone you don't even know, but you must have been devastated for her.
It's just heartbreaking. Off the tee, she'd flown it so far. She's actually lucky her ball hit the bushes over the back and bounded back into the bunker. And then she's hit this bit of a squirrely bunker shot that's gone into the water. And it was like watching someone mentally just implode in the moment, because instead of going back over the water and taking the drop from the other side, she's then dropped it in the bunker, and all the commentators are being like, what are you doing? You can't drop in a bunker. It's going to plug and it's going to make this shot that you have to take so carefully with a massive downhill slope to this iconic pin. What are you doing? And in my head, I was screaming at her, and I don't even know this woman. And it was actually just heartbreaking to watch. And you could, kudos to her, because at the end of the round, she ends up doing all the interviews and, you know, she shows her emotion and she cries, which is heartbreaking to see. But I loved that she faced up straight away and you could see, you know, how much this meant to her. And I think that's really important for, you know, aspiring young girls who were all over Anwar to see someone still, you know, yes, I'm heartbroken, but I'm still going to come up and I'm going to front the press and I'm gonna still be proud of myself, even though I've just had one of the most devastating sporting moments and a back nine that's completely lost my chances of lifting up a trophy that meant so much to me.
We've already recorded what has been quite the incredible conversation between you, Regan Denton herself, and Zoe Manton, her mate, who went over there and just lived the whole experience with her. The three of you have had a wonderful conversation. Rather than you and I just discuss it any further, let's get straight into it. After this, Regan Denton and Zoe Manton in conversation with our own Sophie Hilditch.
It's my complete honour and privilege to welcome our next two guests. Early this morning, I watched Australian history when Regan Denton shot a final round 69 to finish T4 at the Augusta National Women's Amateur and to become the first ever South Australian to compete at the event, but better yet, the highest ever placed Australian. Regan's best friend and friend of the pod, Zoe Manton, got to live close to the experience, cheering on as a patron of Augusta. Welcome back to the pod, Regan and Zoe. I'm so excited to speak to you both.
This is so exciting. We're so happy to be here and just talk about this whole week. We're so excited.
Regan, first off, obviously a huge congratulations. We're so incredibly proud of you at Hooked on Sport. That was amazing to watch from home, and I can only imagine that it felt tenfold better to be the one actually accomplishing those heights. It's just over 12 hours on. Have you had time to process what you just achieved?
Yeah, I think having everyone around me, you know, my family, Wiki, which was awesome, and this lovely lady here, has really, like, helped me just be super proud of myself with the result. Obviously, I think I always was going to be proud. If, you know, if you told me at the start of the week that I was going to come tied fourth, I would have been ecstatic. But I think I always want to win, and when I don't, there's always that little bit of I wish I could have done better. But I think with all the support around me and seeing how proud everyone else was of me, it just really helped it sink in of what I'd just achieved.
Yeah, I know you, Regan, and I'm not surprised at all. I said it at the beginning. I was like, Regan is not there just to compete, not just there to make the cut. She's definitely there to win. And so I'm glad that you're had the opportunity with family and friends to actually sit back and realize how amazing T4 for a debut is, because it is absolutely incredible. The first 36 holes of Arnoir are actually competed at Champions Retreat, and you shot a first round 5 under, and your name was sitting in that top five. It was unbelievable. Can you talk us through that first round?
That first round, it felt really effortless. Like, it didn't, I didn't put myself into many difficult positions. I wasn't putting myself out of play and wasn't, having to make many up and downs or long putts for par. It just seemed really, it just flowed all day. Coming down the stretch, I was sort of itching for a birdie because the back nine's definitely harder for sure, less birdie opportunities coming towards the end for sure. But, like, it was just a really fun day. Wiki and I, we had a great time, and it felt like, I guess, the last few weeks wasn't exactly my best golf, and it almost just felt like I was, I was me out there again. So it was so much fun, and it was awesome having a bogey-free round for the first time in a tournament. So,
yeah, no, speaking to you after the Australian Open, you were upset with how you played, even though you had a hole-in-one. And Zoe, who's sitting next to you, was there, of course, watching you at the Australian Open, and she said to you, it's okay, Reagan, you've got to prepare for the next 3 weeks when you're going to be playing Arnoir, and that's when you have to have your best golf. So, Zoe, I've got to turn to you because you've been nodding the whole way through as Reagan is talking about her first round and the birdies and the bogey-free, and I can tell you lived absolutely every single moment from the sidelines. How did it feel watching your friend do that in the first round?
It's honestly, like, I could cry this whole podcast. It's honestly the most unbelievable feeling watching your best friend just, I mean, like, I've known Reagan since I was 8, and we've been best, we had friendship bracelets after one day, and so we've been like this since we were 8. And watching someone that you see as so special to suddenly everyone else in the entire world and in America seeing them as the special person that you see them as, it's the most crazy feeling. And people are coming up to me and they're like, she's amazing, like, she's doing all this amazing stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I know, like, that's my girl. So it's honestly, the first day was, I think I've watched Reagan play, but I've never seen her play like that. I knew she was capable of playing like that, but as she said, it was the most effortless round. Like, she looked so relaxed. I don't know if you were. I think you probably were. I think after you start playing golf, you tend to, like, settle in, you relax a lot. So she just looked so calm. And I think the thing about Reagan that I really want to highlight is that when I watch people play golf and they're in a certain situation, like, you can be a bit stressed watching them play. So I'm nervous when I watch her play because I'm anticipating, like, you just have that, like, excitement about what's going on. But I never worry. I'm never worried about Reagan. If I was watching me play in this event, I would be worried. Like, I would be so stressed. Watching Reagan play, it's like she'll hit a shot somewhere and I would just be like, yeah, she'll hit that in the green and she'll probably have a birdie putt. Like, I think on the, was it 12th? The 12th in the first round, probably her only, like, mishit maybe of the day was she ended up in this fairway bunker, and she had this, was it, what club did you hit?
I hit 7-iron.
7-iron, out of this fairway bunker to an elevated green, and it's a really tricky hole, and she's just hit it on the green, and suddenly she has a 15-footer for birdie. So she goes from being out of position to giving herself a birdie opportunity and will often convert that into a birdie, and I think that's why I'm never worried watching her. So it was the most, honestly, like, chill, relaxed day, and we were all having so much fun just watching her from the sidelines. So that's a very long-winded answer to that question, but yeah, it just was the most, that first day was just unreal.
And Becky was there.
Yeah, and our friend Becky Stutley was there too, and so I got to catch up with her. She got to see Reagan play, and you guys had a very, like, cute moment in the morning where you almost started crying because you saw each other. But yeah, it was so much fun. It was so cool.
Oh, incredible. Well, Reagan, your task, though, was nowhere near done by the end of round one, despite being in the top 10. This was the lowest scores that we'd ever seen at Arnoir, particularly in that first round. And it's only the top 30 that make the cut to go on and then play Augusta on that Saturday. So how do you mentally approach round two?
Going into round two, I think, you know, I wasn't trying to change anything. You know, game plan was the same, mentality was the same. It was just another round of golf. Conditions were almost identical. So I think I was just going into it, you know, trying to replicate what I'd done the day before. You know, like, it was a bit of a bumpier road, that's for sure. Had even par, but luckily all day I was never, like, the cut basically didn't enter my mind at all. I think that first round really settled my nerves. Mm-hmm. You know, going into the event, as much as I am always still trying to win, the cut was always in the back of my mind as almost a bit of a concern. But after that first round, I was just able to go full, like, demon mode, trying to win. So I think that definitely took the cut off my mind, which was probably helpful during the round. Probably, even though I wasn't as relaxed, I wasn't, you know, super, super stressed in that sense. So
media attention was also huge for this event, including you. You were prominent in a lot of the Arnois TikToks and reels and everything, as well as a lot of the Australian golf social media that was following you and showing their support from home. How did you manage that extra commitment, which is maybe something that you haven't had to deal before, of getting asked, can we film you practicing on the range and film you doing these kind of things for you to fit into what we want to post? How did you deal with that, as well as having to keep on top of your game and preparing for the next day?
Honestly, I love doing media stuff. I think it's so fun. And the fact that it is part of being an athlete, I think is so cool. I'm sure maybe one day I might get sick of it. But for now, I love the interviews. I love, you know, answering questions and, you know, getting filmed on the range. It's not something many people can say that they've been able to do. So I think I just feel very lucky in that moment. And, you know, I know that I can just do me. They want to film me for a reason, not because I'm rubbish at golf, but because I can do some pretty cool things. So I just love it. And I just, you know, I try and soak it up.
Well, you're the complete opposite of rubbish at golf, like Zoe just mentioned. Zoe, I know you said that it's not stressful watching Reagan play, and I've experienced that myself, and I know it's not stressful as well, but it is hard being a spectator because you have no control. You're not on the bag, so you're not often hearing the conversations that Reagan and Wiki would be having, and, you know, Reagan's mental side of things. I bet Reagan enjoyed coming home to family and yourself after her rounds and having a bit of normalcy over in the US for such a big event. But what was your game plan to be the best support after the rounds? That's often a really hard position.
Okay, so I have several roles. My main role is, it's actually in my Instagram bio now, but my role is Reagan's stylist. So I really stepped into that this week. I've been doing that since, I don't know, like, years probably. Like, she'll call me and be like, what do I wear? And I'm like, got you. But yeah, I think a lot of what I did this week was trying to work out what ribbons to get to wear. If you can't tell, we're literally matching right now.
Yeah, I can.
But yeah, we love matching, and that's our way of me feeling connected to her almost. Like, I don't know if that will make sense to other people, but, you know, if I look over at her and she's wearing the same ribbons as me, I kind of feel like we're connected in that way. Like, I don't know if you would have noticed that, but when you're playing, I love, like, looking at across at, like, your outfit and going, yeah, that was me. So honestly, if you look back at the whole week, we're either in complementary outfits or we're fully matching, and we're always matching ribbons. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was doing a lot this week. I think I actually, like, had to go, like, looking for ribbons at some point and, like, walking to go get ribbons for yesterday because we couldn't quite work out. Anyway, I could literally talk about the ribbon choices this week for forever. We actually debunked every outfit from the whole week yesterday at dinner. So that could be a whole nother podcast. But I think in terms of a spectator, I walked with, so obviously Reagan's family's here. And I'm very close with her family as well. Like, they feel like family to me, and Reagan's brother as well. So walking around with Cameron, and then I would walk with Becky when she was there. I would also walk with, you know, Tamara and Gary, and I'd walk with my dad for a bit. And then there were also spectators who become Reagan's fans, like, across the week. There were people that I met and I would talk to them about like how we met, and they'd be asking all these questions, and I'd be just like bragging basically. I'm like, yeah, she's this just like awesome human being. Like, and they would, they also love Australians over here. So, you know, they were just happy to hear us speak. But I think, yeah, like talking to people, I was talking to people the whole week. There wasn't really, I think at Augusta National yesterday, which sounds so insane to even say, but I was more really watching Reagan yesterday. Like I was really watching her the whole week. Like I watch, you know, when you watch golf sometimes and you actually realize you have no idea what's happening. That's not what was happening this week. We were all really focused on like where she was and everything. But I think yesterday, especially, I was just very, almost couldn't talk to some people, especially like in the middle of your back nine, I think. Like when, you know, you had to really grind out that back nine. That's when I started to, hey, okay, but I need to watch this now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a lot of like talking to spectators, thinking about what Reagan was going to wear the next day, debriefing at dinner, you know, and I think also because her family's here, like going and talking to them and almost reminding them of how incredible Reagan is. Because obviously, like, I would go over to Gary and Gary would be watching and I'd say, you know, can you see how incredible your daughter is? You know, like, look at what she's doing right now. This is absolutely incredible. Like, helping him to soak it in, I think, you know, take him away from, like, I don't, he was not stressed, by the way, watching you. Like, he was chill. But do you know what I mean? Like, just almost keeping the crowd, like, nice and
relaxed.
Just relaxed, yeah, and, like, comfortable with what was going on. So, yeah, although I was just watching this week, I felt like I was busy, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really fun. We had so much fun with all of that. And every morning I would go over to Reagan on the range, and they actually filmed her warm-up of the second day, which I thought was interesting because I thought that wasn't her practicing, the one of her in the pink and the black. But, yeah, I would always bring the ribbons to her each morning and she'd come give me a hug. But in terms of after our rounds, Reagan and I, she always picks me up and swings me around. Like, we have so many videos of that. And I think that's your way of recognizing that, like, the golf is done. You know, when you come over to me and you step out of your, like, focus zone and you come over and we just have, like, this, you know, I think after this first round, like, it was a very, like, come on, like, let's go. We were so excited. So I think, yeah, having that space for you, I think, was really cool.
Well, Reagan, I'll turn back to you. To your own admission, you haven't watched the Masters before. You don't often watch golf. When I interviewed you before Anwar, I had to give you a warning that you had to tell me what your favourite hole was and you didn't know any of the 18 holes. So explain to me, as someone who hasn't watched the Masters, having made the cut, what did it actually feel like to step on the grounds of Augusta, knowing you're about to walk inside the ropes of a course with so much rich history?
As much as obviously watching the Masters probably is a big part for a lot of people of how special the place and the event is, you don't even have to have touched a golf club to know the magnitude of Augusta. And so as a competitive golfer going there, regardless of whether I could, you know, recognize what hole I was on, it was like I said it all in the lead up to the event, that it was going to be a pinch me moment until I got there. And when I got there, no one pinched me and I needed them to. Because it was just still so hard to comprehend that I was, you know, walking the same fairways as literally every greatest golfer that has ever lived. And then I said it to Wiki, you take away everything that makes Augusta cool because of the Masters. It is still the coolest, most special place on this planet. It you know, you don't need all the greats walking that course to make it what it is. It's done that on its own, just with the scenery, how exclusive it is, you know, no phones, everyone there is present and watching, and just looking around, getting to see all the azaleas and just the amazing sights. Was just, I can't even put it into words. It was the most amazing feeling ever. And I'm so fortunate that I was able to play the practice round knowing I was playing the next day. because I was able to actually look around. I was able to take in the sights and like notice things that I realized yesterday I didn't take anything in because I was so locked in on my golf that I was like, oh, right, like there's that there and there's that there. And like
Ben Hogan Bridge.
Oh my God. Like, so it's just, I think you'll never be able to fully, you know, give someone else your experience until they've experienced it themselves.
Well, it's incredible that for someone who hadn't watched the Masters that you could still get that feeling from Augusta and feel that history and feel what Augusta is. And Zoe, you're the opposite. You're a golf nut. And I know for a fact that Reagan had to text you to ask you what your favorite hole was at Augusta so that she could repeat it in front of a room full of female golfers. And you had to explain to her what the Azalea was because she didn't even know what that was. So Zoe, I have to ask you, I've got a twofold question. What was your experience walking it as a patron? It's no phones. It's kind of almost archaic and it brings you straight back to the golden age almost. That's my first question. And my second question is, how much damage did you do in the merch tent?
For reference, Reagan's actually coming over to mine next week to watch the Masters with me, which is going to be the most, like, awesome experience because she's going to be like, I had that part. Like, I know you're not a great putter and I am because I hold that part and you didn't. So I'll be like, what are you guys doing? Like, birdie this hole, it's not that hard. I birdied 7 of these holes and you guys can't even make 3. Anyways, so yeah, that's going to be really exciting. So for me, it was quite emotional. Like, I was emotional all week. I mean, when you... Okay, so I've always had this dream of going to Augusta National. That has been my dream. Like, I don't really have big, massive dreams. That has been my dream since I've been so small because I've watched the Masters every year with my family. We stay up on this big mattress and watch it together. And I think another one of my dreams has always been to go to a tournament with Reagan. Reagan can back me up. I would text her randomly and go, I want to come to a tournament with you and I want to cook your dinners. I want to do your laundry. I want to, like, pick your outfits. Like, I'll come support you. I'll bring, like, pom-poms. I'll make signs. You know, like, there's nothing I love doing more in the entire world than supporting someone that you love and care about so much in something that they love and care about so much because you know it's so special for them that you're there. So it's the biggest blessing in the world for me to even be able to support Reagan. And then doing that at a place like Augusta National just adds another tier that just shouldn't be there. It was the combination of a dream I've had since I was 5 to another dream that I've had since I met Reagan. And the combination of them together is just unexplainable to people. And I don't think people... I can't use the right words. It's like a very speechless experience for me to even be here. And I know that it means a lot to Reagan that I am here because she tells me all the time.
She's the biggest and the best cheerleader on the planet. Like, she would, if she could, she would have a career in professionally supporting
her
friends.
I'm not joking. That's my dream job. Like, I'm not even kidding. Hopefully Reagan retires me so I can come join her cheer squad. But in terms of just being a patron at Augusta National, just unbelievable. I think I said to several people, if someone offered me to go to the Masters for every single round or watch Reagan play one round at Augusta every year, I would pick Reagan because watching someone that you know and love so much playing at Augusta is just, it's unexplainable and it makes no sense. I cried so much when I saw Reagan crossing the Hogan Bridge. I actually painted that hole. I actually think I manifested this because I painted that hole 6 months ago before we even knew Reagan was even coming here. That's the only painting I've done for, like, I don't know, my whole life outside of school. And I painted that hole and that green and the azaleas and everything. And then all of a sudden Reagan's walking across the bridge that I painted and have dreamed about going to since I was so small. And I just couldn't even believe what I was seeing. And, like, Reagan would go down the second and I love that hole and she's just birdied it. Like, looks like she acts like she just birdies everything. And I'm like, this can't be real. And my dad also, this is his biggest dream of all time, to be here and supporting Reagan. Like, he supports Reagan like he supports me. It's like another daughter for him. And so for him to watch Reagan as well was unbelievable. I mean, dad gets emotional watching Instagram reels of people winning the Masters on his phone. Like, I'll just hear him kind of sobbing. I'm like, oh, he's watching another video of someone at the Masters. And so just he had his jaw open all week, and he's just, I've never seen him so alive. That's what I said to Reagan and Cameron. I was like, I've never felt this alive in my life. I'm going to come back to Adelaide and I'm just, somebody's going to have to duct tape me because I'm just not going to be able to stop talking. So yeah, that experience watching Reagan play there was unbelievable. The merch tent, you know, the conversion of, obviously for people who, people probably know this, maybe I'm the only one who didn't know, but American money, like if something's $20, it's like 35 Australian.
It's or about 30.
So, you know, it's more, okay? So you see, oh, that's not bad price. And then you pay for it at the end and you're like, okay, wow, that's a lot of money. But honestly, we didn't actually buy too much for us. It was a lot of stuff for other people. So no regrets.
But like, the kicker.
Oh, the kicker was the $555 shipping back to Australia. So we should have just bought another suitcase and put it, like paid for, what's it called? Excessive just weight or something?
Baggage?
Yeah. So we didn't actually,
just something that's not carry-on.
So yeah, that was really funny. And honestly, Dad walked out like this. But you know, we can make the money. Like I was justifying it so many different ways. I was like, if I work for a month, I could pay for it. So it's fine. Like, and I, you know, how many opportunities do you have to splurge in the merch tent? I mean, we didn't actually buy any gnomes, but they are so cute. Actually, we have one.
Oh, I bought a gnome, a mini gnome, because I couldn't get in there before my round. So they were obviously all gone, but I got a mini gnome.
Oh, that's so cute. That's adorable.
And the little caddy outfit.
It's got the little white caddy outfit on. That's so good.
And Wiki got three of the actual gnomes.
Oh, incredible. I'm not, like, the $550 delivery fee means nothing to me, Zoe. I agree with you. I would just be buying everything. Who cares? But it's for next time, Zoe, get an extra bag and just pay for the extra luggage.
Yeah, so we thought about that after we paid for the shipping. But I think the other thing is that I want to mention is the it's not a merch, I shouldn't call it that. The golf shop is like Burnside. It's massive. And it has
it is another beautiful building.
And there are so many, the thing about Augusta National that surprised me was there's so many like buildings and little houses and little huts and little like little things. It's like a whole village of just the most beautiful thing. Yeah. And azaleas everywhere. It's not just you walk in and suddenly there's the first tee in that big, it's a massive hill and it just all flows down beneath you. You have to get there by walking along this very pretty, like,
yeah,
little pathway. And so everything there, it's so overstaffed in the best way possible. You have someone, there's someone there saying, this way for photos, like it's just a 10-minute wait. And there's like another person in 10 meters going, like, and that everyone says, like, hey, how are you going? Everyone is the nicest person on the planet. And honestly, everyone outside of, like, just in Augusta in general is so sweet. And so, yeah, the merch store was just such a fun experience because there's like 50 people in there just asking if you're looking for something. But the hustle and bustle of it, because there are so many people, there are people that had, there's these like shopping bags. There are people that had like five of them on their arms. I fit everything in one with my dad and we spent quite a bit there. So there are people, I think because it's so chock-a-block in there and there's so many people, you just kind of like see something you half like and just smack it into the bag because that's what everyone else is doing. And you're kind of like speeding around and it makes you get more stuff.
It's so overwhelming.
I needed a break after that.
Well, I'm going to go with there's no regrets there, Zoe. But, Reagan, let's turn back to the golf. Let's turn to your last round 69, which Zoe is right. There was a lot of birdies. There was 7 birdies, and it was the second lowest round of the day. Can you just give us a quick talk through it?
I mean, getting off to a pretty hot start, starting par, birdie, birdie, birdie. I think that changed my mindset a little bit to sort of just lets go. Like, I think my expectations may have shifted a little bit in that moment of, like, going into a round six shots behind, you know that there is still a chance if you play your best golf that you could win. But there's always that voice in the back of your head saying, that's a lot of shots. It's pretty unlikely. But when I was three under through four, I definitely started to have the mindset of, like, I could do this. I was hitting it well. I was putting it really well. So I was just feeling really confident, and I just felt like I was in a really good mindset. Going into the back nine, four under, I was pretty happy with how I was playing. And to me, I think the back nine probably has a couple more birdie opportunities. But the bogeys on 11 and 12 were a little bit difficult to get through, especially the bogey on 11. I missed, like, a straight uphill 2-foot putt. I just got the absolute yips. After, it was a pretty poor drive, so I had, like, 6-iron into the green, which I think that green is, like, known to be difficult to hit, especially because so much of it's unusable, it runs into the water. And, you know, having 6-iron in, I was like, okay, just middle green and we'll be happy. And that's exactly where I put it. And I had a pretty good putt. It was online. It was just a hair short. And then to, like, sort of yip it and, you know, almost completely miss the hole, I was just almost like, what just happened? And then I was like, okay, it's okay. Going into 12, then I put it in the back bunker, which I had a really good shot out of to keep it short of the hole.
And the water, by the way.
In the water. And then another missed putt there. I think, you know, Wiki was just trying to calm me down, be like, we've got a couple birdie holes coming up. You just need to take a breath, have some water, and, like, get back into it. Because I can have a habit of, sometimes spiraling a little bit, getting too caught up in what I've just done. So all week our sort of, like, slogan has been control the controllables.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been going through a mindset of, okay, I can't control what I just did. I can control how I go into the next shot, how well I do my routine, and, you know, what I do going into the next shot. So I think that's really helped me all week to sort of snap out of the mentality of, like, the bogeys. And, you know, I was able to make a couple birdies coming in, which was really good. So overall, I think having a worse back nine at first, I wasn't able to appreciate what the round was for what it was, which was a really good round. But, you know, after a little bit of time, you know, talking to everyone, I was like, guys, I just shot in the 60s at Augusta. At Augusta National, I had 7 birdies and shot a 69. And I was like, that is so freaking cool. And I'm just so glad I didn't bogey the last, because I was really close to.
She had a 5-footer at the last green.
Oh, it was longer.
Oh, is it?
It was probably like a 7-footer.
It's actually.
I think so. It was clutch.
Tomorrow it'll be a 10-foot dunk.
So it was just a great way to end the round. And I came off the green and I hugged Annika Swarensen, which Wiki did have to point out. He was like, okay, soak in this moment. And by the way, that's Annika Swarensen. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I gave her a hug and then I come off and I see your mum, dad, Zoe, Nick, Cameron, and I had one of my friends and her boyfriend from Florida. They came out to watch. My college coaches were out there. And it was just like an overwhelming of emotions of, like, I have so much support here and they're all so proud of what I've just done. So it was just an unreal experience. And once I was able to sort of detach from the, like, competitive mindset, I was just really able to appreciate how proud I was able to be of myself, because not everyone can say they shot 3 under at Augusta. So, yeah, I was pretty proud of it.
Well, you mentioned at the start the Amen's Corner, which, Reagan, that's 11, 12, 13, just in case you haven't jumped on board on that one. And it can often be the turning point of the tournament at the Masters. There's been many of a Masters where someone has lost the Masters, and we unfortunately watched Asterix Tally have a quadruple from the bunker that you, the exact same bunker that you were in, and Zoe said it could have gone in the water, which is where a lot of those balls end up. How do you find dealing with the pressure in that moment? You can hear patrons in those corners, particularly you can hear the cheers, you can hear the oohs, and there's leaderboards everywhere because there's no phones. Did you feel that pressure coming in that turn?
I think all the pressure was just internal coming from myself. I think when I make, you know, a bogey or two in a row, everything that's around me just does not exist. I'm like, so it's almost like my head's in the clouds. I can't see anything ahead of me. I can only see what I've just done. And so like in that moment, the crowd's irrelevant, leaderboards irrelevant. I was just annoyed. And so that's where having Wiki on the bag, he was really good at, you know, pulling me out of that state of like, okay, you know, we're good. We've got these holes ahead of us. Just you're fine. Just play like you have been and we'll make a couple birdies on the way in. And then going into 13, you know, getting to play it in the practice round, I think definitely was helpful in knowing, you know, what I was able to do. Cause I think in the practice round, I was like 3 or 4 under. Like, I played really well in the practice round. And I actually birdied 12, which I was pretty happy with. But so going into 13, I just sort of had to reset a little bit, which, like I said, Wiki was, you know, really helpful in that process. And I was able to hit a really great drive and then have 5-iron in. I just missed green, like, long left, but I, you know, had a putt from off the green. And I was able to make birdie, which, you know, sort of helped me get back into my groove a little bit. So as far as the pressure goes, I think all of it, a lot of the time is often internal just because of that, the mindset that I get into. I think I'm definitely learning to enjoy playing in front of crowds. It is very cool when, you know, the crowds don't, because they don't really know who you are. So it's just unconditional support. They're like, oh my God, she made a birdie. Let's clap. It's such a cool feeling that, you know, I haven't been able to experience. As much as I'd heard about it, I was very surprised at the size of the crowds. The fact that it was like substantially bigger than Oz Open, which was just, it was hard to wrap my head around because it's a women's amateur event. Like, to say that you then an Australian Open, it's the biggest event in Australia, and to say that I had a pretty big crowd on every single hole. I had people like walking with me, or just like there was, you know, a bunch of Masters chairs planted on the back of a hole, and it was just so cool having that support from complete strangers. You felt like that they were still cheering you on regardless of whether they knew you or not, which is just the coolest feeling.
I had one guy tell me that he saw an interview of yours on ESPN or something, and that he said, I'm going to follow her that week. And followed her the entire week.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I haven't told you that.
No, you haven't.
No, I know. That was really sweet. Sorry, I just wanted to add
that. Like, it's just a completely other different feeling to have that many people watching you. And, like, after the round when I'm walking through the merch tent, I had so many people be like, you did so well this week. Congratulations. They were like, it was awesome to watch you. You played amazing. Just from, like, so many people that worked the event, just random, like, strangers that, like, I had no idea existed. And
little kids
coming up to, like, ask me to, like, sign their flags and their, like, merch and stuff. It was just such an unreal experience. And having that support there, I think, is something that I'm really fortunate to enjoy, having a crowd. As much as it, I wouldn't say it adds pressure, it definitely adds to the nerves for sure. Like on the first heat, my whole body was shaking, like visibly shaking. I can't believe I didn't miss the ball. But like, it's such a, I think it's such a privilege to be able to have that. And I know not everyone's a fan of crowds. And so I think I'm just really fortunate that having a crowd doesn't necessarily add extra pressure, but I think it just makes it more exciting when you play well. So.
Right. And that actually just gives me chills. That's unbelievable that there was so much support from people you don't even know and people following
so
you. I have a feeling you're going to have to get used to crowds, and it sounds like you already are, so that's perfect. I'm going to bring you back. You've mentioned him quite a few times throughout this interview. At the Arnois, you have an opportunity in the after the practice round, once you've made the cut, to actually choose a local caddy that is experienced around Augusta, knows all the slopes, knows everything. And so, as someone who's debuting, that must look quite interesting and intriguing, particularly for someone who's never watched the Masters. But you stuck with your coach and you stuck with Wiki. How important was it to you to have Wiki on the bag, particularly noting that you had that little bit of a difficulty around Eamon's Corner, but you bounced back straight away with the birdie on 13. You stuffed it on 17 for another birdie, and it looked like it didn't faze you. And I know you've mentioned that, yes, internally it did and he brought you back out of it, but from someone who was watching from home on a TV, you didn't look fazed at all.
Wiki, I think, was just like, it was almost just like the last puzzle piece to this week. Having him there just made everything so much better and perfect. I came for this event like 5 days early, so just to like sort of reset, get the jet lag over with. And I was in Jacksonville practicing. And, you know, I'd had a few struggles in sort of the coming weeks, Oz Open included. And my swing just didn't really feel, I wasn't super confident with how I was feeling over the ball. I felt like I was tinkering so much that my swing just didn't feel like my swing anymore. Mm-hmm. And I just sort of grinded out at Sanctuary Cove for WPGA. As much as I was really happy with how I played there, I really had to just work with what I had, which was not something that I wasn't really happy with what I had. So I loved having, you know, I had like 3 straight practice days with Wiki with me at all times, which I'd never had the chance to have him in that capacity before. We've only ever, you know, been like that during a tournament where he won't try and complicate things too much. He might add a small technique or swing thought here and there. But he doesn't want to, you know, overwhelm me with information during an event. So he will work with what I've got at that time. But because mm-hmm. we were there like days prior, we were able to do some really, really solid work to get me feeling a lot more confident, and which was detrimental to me playing well this week. I was so, so happy with my ball striking, especially with my irons. We were able to sort of shift it a little bit closer to the center. I was catching it quite out the hill, and sometimes a little thing which was just losing me distance and was really inconsistent. But so getting it, you know, close to the center was just really important, and we were able to do that to a point where like I felt really comfortable over the ball. And then going into the week with him caddying, I put all my trust in him. He knows my game like the back of his hand. You know, we feed off each other really well. We will, you know, we'll get our distance. He'll sort of give me the number that I will need to land it, and then he'll let me take it from there and say, he's like, what do you think? What club do you have in your mind? If I'll say 8-iron, a lot of the time we are really on the same page with what club. I just think that we are really in sync. Our process, I think we've really figured out what works for us. During Oz Open, I was asking him to read every putt, and you know, halfway through my second round, I think he goes, I'm gonna let you read your putts. If you really don't know what it's doing, call me in and I'll have a look. And this week I basically read all my own putts, which, because I think he has a lot of faith in my green reading, and I think this week has also given me a lot of faith in my own green reading as well. So only on maybe probably not even 5 occasions over 3 rounds, I asked him to give me his thoughts because I just didn't know what was happening. So having him on the bag, I think it's just so it's I think it's hard to put into words, and I think people can't understand how important it is that you feel comfortable with that player caddy relationship. I think it's so special, and I think I'm very lucky to, you know, feel so comfortable and, you know, trusting in each other's opinions, and we're able to sort of feed off each other that way. If he can tell that I'm really set on a club and he thinks that it can work, he'll be like, okay, then yep, that's good. That's a good club. We'll hit that club. But if, you know, if there's a club that I pick that he's just really confident that it's not it, he will let me know. And I trust that opinion. I trust that he knows what he's talking about, and that, you know, I need to hit that club, and which gives me confidence over the ball as well, knowing that not, you know, he's not just my caddy, he's my coach. So knowing that my coach is confident in the club that I have is gives me even more standing over the ball that, you know, we've got a good line, we've got a good number, and this is the right club to get it close to the pin. So Wiki, I think he added so much value to this week, not just in his knowledge in the game and helping me play the way I did, but also it's just so fun having him on the bag. We have a lot, we do have a good time. You know, we make some jokes going around, and it's just, you know, getting to have your coach see you perform really well is, it's so special. So I'm so appreciative of having him on the bag, and I think me letting him caddy at Augusta is me repaying him.
Well, it's pretty clear from the coverage that you and him were having a great time. He was laughing the whole time with the myriad of birdies that you had. You could see he was smiling, and there was a couple of jokes going back and forth. I have to ask you now, because I asked you months ago, what was your favourite hole at Augusta? You've now played them twice. Please tell me, what is your favourite hole at Augusta?
I think my answer's the same.
Hey!
I think it's 13. I think it's so fun. And obviously, like, you couldn't ask for a better background to be hitting into. Like, you've got this gorgeous green with bunkers behind it and the prettiest flowers on the planet, you know, with the fear of blading it into the water. There's not a better combination. It's a great tee shot. You know, you can't, like, you do have to be somewhat precise to be able to go for it in two. So it's just, it's a great hole. But at the same time, I could say that about all of them. There wasn't, that's one thing, there wasn't a single hole that I got to at that course where I'm like, I just don't like this hole.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever said that about another course, because the Champions Retreat, the 11th, hate that hole. That hole sucks. Yeah, I birdied it, but that's irrelevant. It's such a bad hole. But at Augusta, I can't say that about a single hole, about a single tee shot, a single approach shot. I loved every hole.
I think the other thing is, like, knowing Reagan and knowing that, like, obviously we both play golf, we both love golf, but we have slightly different, you know, I watch golf a lot. I know all the players. I've watched the Masters my whole life, and obviously you prefer to play golf than watch someone else play golf, which I totally understand, because I would rather play golf and be you than watch someone else. But what I've never seen Reagan so excited about a course in my life. So I couldn't go the practice day because it's credentials only, which was obviously for Reagan's family only. So Dad and I had a little field trip. But Reagan calls me after she's played the practice round and been to Augusta for the first time after the dinner. And she's literally bouncing off the phone screen. Like, she's gone. She's popping up and down. And, like, you're in the hallway of your hotel. You're not even in your room. And people are wandering past. And she's bouncing out of the screen. So to see Reagan so excited, that's when I knew. I was like, if it's impressing Reagan and she doesn't even, like, hasn't watched the Masters and stuff, it's going to be incredible. And I think seeing that reaction from you was just really funny, because I was like, oh, she gets it now, she understands.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's like I've said this all week, no matter how high your expectations, like I'm sure like Nick had the highest of high expectations, they will be exceeded. There is no doubt about that.
100%.
There's no, you can't get that feeling through a screen.
No.
You just can't. And so being able to walk those fairways is like your expectations are immediately met the second you drive through those gates. Like there is.
Well, she drove down Magnolia Lane. I did drive down Magnolia Lane.
but like just, I think as much as so we had a dinner at Augusta before we played there. And when I arrived, a little part of me was like, I wish I did, like, could point out, like, oh, I've seen that, and, like, oh, I know that hole, I know that hole. But after playing it, there's also another side of me now that is excited to watch it for the first time after having my own experience. Like, I think getting to experience it without expectations after seeing it is also a really cool way of doing it. Not that, you know, I'm not going to recommend anyone else do that, but I think that's my way of justifying not watching it all these years. But it's just, there's no word to describe it. It's your
magic.
It's
the only word.
It's magic. Like you can see like glitter dust like flying through the air, like there's like a halo and like sun beaming down, like, and we got the most perfect conditions until everyone had just finished the rounds and we were like walking around because now the men were arriving, which I'm about to name drop. I got to meet and talk to Jason Day, which was the coolest thing ever. Wiki was like, go over there. And I'm like, I don't want to.
And this is after you also played with Cameron Smith in Florida.
Yeah.
And do you want to tell them what?
Oh, Cameron Smith messaged me after my round to say, congrats on this week. Keep up and keep working hard. And And I got a message from Kari Webb. She's messaging me, like, saying congrats, and then I got to meet Jason Day, and it was just an amazing day of just name drops.
All right, this is, like, completely infectious, and I should mention that you've just got the Kari Webb Scholarship, which is also incredible, and, I mean, I think everyone saw that coming because you're a well-deserving recipient of that scholarship. So you're about to spend a week with her in the US summer, which is going to be incredible. And you deserve everything that's coming to you right now. Zoe, Reagan, your relationship is infectious. The support that you guys have for each other, it actually brings tears to my eyes. I think this is beautiful. Oh. This is incredible. I'm so proud of both of you girls. I think you present yourself beautifully. My last question to the both of you is, I've got a sneaky suspicion that this won't be the last time that you'll be back at Augusta. And what I have to say is, what is, from your first experience, the one lasting memory that you're going to have from this week?
Oh, God, one lasting memory. I think walking off the 18th green, letting that moment sink in, and, you know, after just holding like a good putt for par, walking off the green, the 18th green of Augusta National, after just shooting 3 under, I think is just going to be the most unforgettable experience. And then just having the entire afternoon after that of just celebrating with friends, family, coaches. We went out to dinner with Wiki, my family, and Zoe. And Zoe actually brought me a bouquet of flowers.
Oh.
Even though I can't take them home, they will be staying here. And just like the whole, I think it's so hard to pinpoint one moment, but I think walking off the 18th has to be one of those moments that is just like a, oh my God, that just happened. So I'm hoping that my mental Polaroids are, you know, going to stay there forever, because that is, yeah, that was an otherworldly experience.
I'm literally crying right now. Like, I'm tearing up. Like, thinking about this week, this has been the best week of my life.
Watching your best friend be loved by so many people is just watching the crowds and watching Reagan come off 18 and everyone standing up and cheering for her, and just everyone loving her like I love her is just the most beautiful memory. And watching her walk across the bridge, the Ben Hogan Bridge on 12, I couldn't be more proud of her if I tried. It's not physically possible. And I just, it's, instead of having a particular memory, it's more just this, like, this glow, like this ball, you know, Inside Out, when they have the, like, that, like, coloured balls that, like, have memories, it's this yellow glow and this, like, magic that's, like...
It's a cool memory.
It's a cool memory. It's a cool memory of this entire week. And I would just say getting to hug Reagan after every round, just being able to go and just give her the biggest, tightest hug and, yeah, flying through the air every time she twirls me around, it is just pure magic. Just the whole week has just been unbelievable. And seeing people so proud of Reagan and just everything she's achieved. I mean, I've been proud of her since we've met when we were 8. Like, when I watched you, like, win the Vic Junior, we went to Victoria, watching you win.
Back
there's
in
a video.
2022.
I know there's a video of me running up to you on the green and giving you a big hug after. That was your first, like, win, like your big win. I've been proud of her since I can remember. And so being here at my dream place watching her this whole week and being with your family too. I love your family so much. And then my dad also being here and knowing this is so his biggest dream ever. It's indescribable. It's just, it's the happiest glow, the biggest ball of joy. I don't know how I'm going to caption my Instagram post for this, because what am I meant to say?
We are sitting next to each other on the plane, so we've got plenty of time to brainstorm.
Yeah, that plane ride. Hopefully no one's sitting near us, because they will not sleep.
Our row is full.
Oh, great. Yeah, so we'll probably have a whole plane of Reagan fans by the time we get home, because I'll probably find, like, an intercom on the plane and start raving about Reagan. But, yeah, our favourite – when I say our favourite memory, but your favourite memory is coming off 18, and my favourite memory is watching you come off 18. So, yeah, just pure bliss, really. It's the biggest blessing that we get to do this together. And I also just want to quickly add, I was thinking about this, you know, being here this week, it was like a feeling of how on earth are we here? How did we get here? I think about 8-year-old us, and they would look at us now and just probably explode, like, what are they doing? How are they there? But then I think about how hardworking Reagan is and how talented she is, the things she's sacrificed to get here, all the hours, probably things that I don't even know about, things I haven't seen, you know, the work she's put in. And then suddenly it just makes total sense that we're here. It's like, of course we would be here. I mean, look at her. She's put in all this work. Like, this makes so much sense that we get to be here and she has this experience. And then when you sit back and realize that, it's not a matter of luck. We're very lucky. We're blessed to be here. But we aren't here because we are lucky. We're here because Reagan has put in the hard work, and we're here because of someone who's dedicated their life to putting in the hours and getting us here. And that, when you realize that, you kind of, it just changes the whole week. Instead of being like, oh my gosh, we're here, this makes no sense, it's Reagan has fought to be here and 110% deserves to be here, and finishing fourth, it's like, yeah, tick, yeah, I was right. Like, obviously we deserve to be here. So, yeah, I just wanted to add that as well, on top of everything that's happened this week, realizing that was kind of a bit of a light bulb, and it just kind of, everything just, all the memories kind of sink in differently when you realize that.
Well, Zoe, I couldn't have put it better myself. Reagan, you are one of the most hardworking people that I know. You kept saying it was a privilege, but I agree with Zoe. It was about time that you were there. I wasn't surprised at all to see you at T4, and I wouldn't be surprised to see you even higher in future years. You're an inspiration. You're incredible. Your relationship, the two of you, and the fact you got to have this experience together is infectious. I've loved every moment of this interview. Thank you for squeezing us in before your plane flight. Good luck to everyone that is on that plane and has to listen to you two girls chatter. I cannot wait to see you back in Australia so I can give you both a big hug. So incredibly proud of the two of you. So incredibly proud that your friends of mine, that your South Australian, the whole of Australia would be proud that you two are representing us in the ways that you've completely presented yourselves this week is incredible. So thank you, Reagan and Zoe. A huge congratulations for this week. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And I cannot wait to see you both back in Australia so I can give you a big tight squeeze and hopefully I can start wearing matching ribbons as well. That would be brilliant.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
With the last putt sunk, that's a wrap on this golf edition of Hooked on Sport. Thanks for listening. Help us meet more golfers just like you by following us and leaving a review. We look forward to your company on the next golf edition of Hooked on Sport.